A reading from Whispers from Eternity, Book of Prayer Demands by Paramhansa Yogananda. Number 4, Spiritual Interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. O Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, Beloved God, may the halo of thy presence spread over all minds. May the religion of matter worship be converted into loving, direct worship of thee. Since without thy power to love, we cannot truly love anything, may we love thee first and above all else. May the heavenly kingdom of bliss, where thou dwellest, manifest itself with all its divine qualities on earth. And may all lands be freed from limitations, imperfections, and miseries. Let thy kingdom within us manifest itself without. Father, lead us not into the pit of temptations, into which we fell by the misuse of thy gift of reason. When we become freer and stronger, should it be thy wish to test us, to see whether we love thee more than any temptation, then, Father, make thyself more tempting than temptation. O Father, if it be thy wish to test us, help us keep our willpower strong enough to meet all thy tests. Give us our daily bread, food, health, and prosperity for the body, efficiency for the mind, and above all, thy wisdom and love for our souls. Teach us to deliver ourselves, with thy help, from the meshes of ignorance which we have woven through our own carelessness. I chose this whisper because yesterday when I was going through the reading, I went to the book of Matthew, and from which this the reading from Ray's was pulled. And I wanted to read a little bit more about the temptation, which is very brief. It's only a couple of lines in the book of Matthew, chapter 4. But I was so enthralled with the book, of course. I thought, wow, this is a really good book, the Bible. And so I just kept reading, and I started reading. I read all of the book of Matthew last night, which I haven't done in quite a while. And it was just so wonderful. But throughout that chapter, there we come to the point where Jesus Christ offers this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which we have Yogananda's interpretation of, which I just read. And I was so struck by that moment when he's offering the Lord's Prayer to his disciples. This is all after the temptation, so we'll come back and we'll start there. But I was so struck by it. You know, I was raised Catholic, and so I have memorized that prayer and said that prayer countless times in my life. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I thought, what is thy kingdom come? It's Christ consciousness. When Christ consciousness is, when we are attuned to Christ consciousness, thy will, God's will, is the only longing and the only desire that we have in our hearts. Thy will be done on earth, here in this material world, as it is in heaven, as it is in that uplifting power of God's grace. Then he goes on and says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Again, we hear that interpretation from Yogananda. What is the essence of that? Give us this day our daily bread. It's trust. It's faith. It's faith that God will provide for us, that if we can walk forward in that divine consciousness, in attunement, in the knowing that God is always working toward with us, toward our highest good, then we can expand into that consciousness and be, as Keshava sang for us earlier, free from all of those delusions. I was joking with Keshava. He told me, he said, how would it feel if I sang Desire My Great Enemy this morning? And of course I said, that'd be great. I said, why don't you just chant for 40 minutes and then I'll stand up and say what he said. And we can sit back down because it's the essence of it. Desire My Great my Great Enemy. We don't have to fear anything anymore. So if we backtrack and come back to that and start with the temptation, what does this mean? You know, I have a lot of segues today. There was one more thought that I had. Last week, we had the topic, does God hide the truth? And I was joking with Shanti after that topic. She gave the service last week, and she stood up and she said, yes and no. And then she went into a beautiful explanation of what that really means. And I thought I could stand up here with this question today. Does Satan exist? Yes. That's it. What else needs to be said? Though I will come up with something for the next 20 minutes or so. But here we are at the very essence of that question. Does Satan exist? The answer is yes. So what is it? What is that force that we've anthropomorphized into this demon with horns that can walk around and stalking us, and it can elicit a lot of fear and discomfort? And there's an element of that which is in our favor because, as Yogananda is attesting to in the through the readings that Swami Kriyananda has given us today from the AY and from the New Path, this force that exists in the universe, that is that downward pulling force that's pulling us out and away from the divine, from divine consciousness, from divine attunement, is very real, and we must face it with all of that energy and power. So to anthropomorphize Satan, and to use that term Satan, in a certain way, it helps us to harness our strength to be able to move forward in really knowing what the battle is that we are about to fight. Or what we are fighting, we're in the midst of it. We've been for lifetimes and incarnations. But the truth is, the world is made up of these two magnetic forces, which are constantly drawing us in between them. And the first is this force of Maya. Force of Maya, which is drawing us out into the world. Come, find just a little bit of anger. Find just a little bit of excitement. Let me pull you away into the world. Do you want a little something more? We're always being pulled. And as that scale of Maya, which is that downward pulling energies, drawing us deeper and deeper into the ego, the other side of that scale is God's grace. And that is that force of consciousness, which is lifting us up into it, which is helping us to shed the ego, to shed that cycle of delusion, of always being drawn out. And so we have on this scale these two sides. And of course, Maya is strongest here and weakest here. And God's grace, that upward pulling, upward lifting force of consciousness, is strongest here and weakest here. But that scale always exists. And so we're being pulled in between both of them. And the question for us each day, each moment, is which force am I going to cooperate with? Which force am I going to attune my energy and my willpower to? And we're constantly being pulled in both of those directions. And of course, Maya is a little bit trickier, that downward pulling force that is Satan, that downward pulling force that's constantly drawing us away. That's its job, to pull us further and further away. And it doesn't have to work that hard because we have karma and we have all of these thoughts and desires which are there. So it just has to show you a little something and then you can just go out and grab it. You know, I think of my little 1.5-year-old niece, and whenever we need to distract her from something, all we have to do is just show her another little toy and there she goes. She's off in that direction. Or should we sit? Last night I was having dinner with her over Zoom and she started crying because she didn't like her dinner. And I said, should we sing Itsy Bitsy Spider? Right up, there she goes, ready. Everything that was, all of the angst before, it was just gone. And just one net thing, and there she is, she's out, and she's grabbing for it. And that's what Maya does. The soul wants to be calm and still and inward. The soul knows its true nature. And this is where we want to live, but Maya just flashes a little sparkly diamond out here, or a new car, or a new job, or the perfect partner who's just beautiful and everything that you want him or her to be. And all of a sudden, there we go. Our desires, our attachments, our longings, not just from this lifetime, but from all our lifetimes, get pushed forward with that force. And we have to acknowledge that it's there and that it's present. And this is that satanic force. This is the force of Satan, which is pulling you away. But the beautiful thing to remember, and where we'll end today, is, of course, that as strong as that force of Maya may feel, because we're cooperating with it, that force of divine grace is also always present, is also always pulling us, pulling on us, offering us that opportunity to open our hearts and to raise our energy up into it. So if we come to the temptation of Christ, It's interesting. There are three temptations that are written about over the course of these 40 days and 40 nights that Christ spends in the wilderness. And I wanted to read from the book of Matthew and talk about each one of the temptations because they relate to the ways that Maya, the satanic force, is pulling on each one of us every moment of our own lives. So the book of Matthew, chapter 4 says, "Then Jesus was lifted up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' And Jesus replied, 'Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" This is the first temptation. And what is this temptation? It's the temptation of the body, the temptation of our sense pleasures and our sense desires. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and it says he's hungered. And what does Satan do? It comes to him and says, "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Right? What does that mean? Satisfy your hunger. Satisfy your material needs to be fed, to be nourished. Same, we can continue on from there. Satisfy your needs to be warmed when it's cold, whatever the sense-based pleasures are, be in the body, be grounded here, stay here, feed yourself. And what does Jesus reply? He replies, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." What's the mouth of God? Yogananda tells us it's the medulla. It's that place where divine energy, where prana, enters into our body. So what he's saying to us is that we must remember whenever the temptations of Maya try to trick us into believing that this body needs to be fed, nourished, grounded in sense-based pleasures, that you live by the word of God. You live by the power of God, by that divine prana that is flowing through you. You know, I was joking with my friend earlier this week. I've been feeling a desire, though apparently not very strongly, because you'll see where the story goes, to do a cleanse. I've just been feeling like a cleanse is something that I've wanted. And so I made juice and I made soup and all of these things that I wanted to do in order to start my cleanse. And I was joking with my friend just the other day. And I said, you know, every day for the past 7 days, I've woken up and said, today I will start my cleanse. And then I go, well, maybe just a little something here or maybe just a little snack there. And so every day I haven't quite gotten to that point of starting the cleanse, which, you know, it will come when it's ready. But that idea, you know, as I was thinking about this moment and what's happening in the profound interpretation that, or the profound advice that Jesus is giving us through his example, where does your nourishment come from? Where does your energy come from? Am I stronger than my desire for the little snack or the little this or the little that that I want to eat? Why can't I say no? Today I will have my vegetable cleanse and my juice cleanse. Where does that desire come from? That's Maya, just pulling on us a little bit here or there. But if we live in that place of knowing that our energy comes from God alone and is fueled by God alone, then we are able to expand beyond that. And we're not stuck and limited to the sense-based pleasures of this world. You know, for those of you that are here, we're obviously we're live in Palo Alto here. And for those of you that are in Palo Alto or the surrounding area, we had a big event last night, which was this 3-hour thunder and lightning storm, which doesn't happen very often in our area. And so it was a huge, exciting thing, I think, for at least for me. Maybe it wasn't exciting for everyone because it woke a lot of us up. But it started at about 3:00 in the morning, and I went out and sat on my little covered deck and stayed there for just over an hour, just watching the lightning come across the sky, and it was these really huge, epic, I don't know what it's called, crashes of lightning. I don't know what the word is for lightning, but strikes of lightning, and then this rolling thunder all night long. And I was enjoying every minute of it, and then I took my phone because I wanted to record it, and so I would hold my phone up to the black night sky trying to catch the lightning. And every time I did, it didn't translate very well. I wasn't getting the full, you know, I felt God's presence in lightning. That's one of the reasons I've always loved it. The power of the thunder and the lightning, it's so commanding and domineering in that way of just this all-powerful grace. And so it felt like Divine Mother just talking with us and playing with us all night long, and I wanted to capture it. But it just wasn't translating onto my phone. And I thought this morning as I reread the reading after that experience, that's the essence of what is happening for us here. When we are limited to the material body, when we're limited to this need to be pulled down and to take care of what's happening on the material-based level, then we're stuck there and we can't expand up into that all-powerful, all-pervading consciousness of God. Here I was trying to capture this amazing moment on just this little tiny camera phone, and the two, they didn't translate. It wasn't coming through in that same way, because just like Yogananda said we all know the story when Swami Kriyananda thought in Yogananda's presence, teach me to love the way that you love. And Yogananda responds to him, how can a small cup hold the entirety of the ocean? And so again, this idea that how can this tiny little phone hold all of the expansiveness of that power and mighty force of God. And again, the same thing when we're attached to and we're limited by that force of Maya that's telling us you must be stuck in your body, you must stay down in your body. What happens to us? We get stuck there and we can't expand beyond. The second temptation that comes, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and seateth him on the high pinnacle of the temple. I'm going to paraphrase just for the sake of time. In the second temptation, the devil tempts Christ by bringing him up into the high pinnacle, into the high towers of the temple, and says, jump off. I changed my mind. You can't paraphrase the scriptures. And he says, if thou beest the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus replied, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So in the second temptation, the first temptation is the temptation of the body, material pleasures. The second temptation is the temptation of the mind. The devil is quoting the scriptures here, and he's saying, if you're the Son of God, then the scriptures are saying that God will not allow any harm to come to you, so jump, cast yourself off, prove that you are the Son of God. And his response, Christ's response to the devil is, thou shalt not test the Lord thy God. Where does our faith come from? Our faith is not reliant upon God proving it to us. We don't walk into a situation and say, God, prove yourself to me that I may have faith in you. That faith has to come from within. This is the temptation of the mind. The devil's trying to trick us. Well, if you're really a good devotee, then shouldn't God take care of you? And the mind starts to think, well, maybe is that true? No, that faith has to be born from within us. That faith is ours to offer to the divine. And the moment that we offer that faith up to the divine, there that force of Maya, it loses its strength, and we are rushed up into the grace of God. We're rushed up into that place of divine consciousness. Each time we can offer our faith just a little bit more and more. The beautiful story of this is the story of Padmapad, who was a disciple of Swami Shankaracharya, who was standing on the opposite side of a large river, and his guru calls out to him, and he says, come here, come here. And his disciple, without any inhibition, just starts walking across the river. And with each step that he takes, a lotus pad appears. And so he's walking across this river step by step, and one lotus pad after another appears, which is how he was given the name. After that moment, he crosses the river and he pranams at his guru's feet. And his guru gives him the name Padmapad, lotus foot, because it was his faith. It wasn't his guru who created those lotus pads for him to walk across. They were born of his own faith. Because that divine grace, as we talked about, these two forces of Maya and grace, they're always in a constant battle back and forth. And the question is not, when do I get to participate in one? The question is, which one will I choose to cooperate with today? So that moment that Padmapad can cooperate with that grace and that faith, and know that that on the other side of this river, no harm can come to him because there his guru sits, just like the chant that we listened to. You don't have to fear anything anymore. when we're living from that place of faith. So the devil tempts us, Maya tempts us of the mind. Prove your faith to God. But it's not for God to prove, it's for us to offer ourselves up into, which is the beautiful lesson that Christ gives us. And the third temptation, again, the devil taketh him up to an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things I give to thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shall thou serve. So in his final attempt, first we have the temptation of the mind, of the body, then the temptation of the mind. The third one comes in the temptation, I was trying to find the right word, I called it the temptation of the ego, because the temptation of the spirit didn't quite feel right. But it's sort of that idea that the devil is just, it's like his final play. I give you everything this world can offer, eternally, you can have, or not eternally, what's the word, exceedingly. It just continues to multiply. Anything you want, this is yours. Complete dominion over this land. You want happiness. You can have a new car. You can have the perfect partner, as we talked about. You can have power and control over all of the people around you. You can run your own company, whatever you want. If you worship me, if you bow down to me, this is what Maya is saying to us. If you can fall into that hamster wheel and just continue to run and to spin, you can have anything you want on this material plane. And to an extent, though karma comes in and plays a role, isn't that true? If we really put our willpower into something, chances are eventually, after however many lifetimes it may take, we can earn that thing, that material thing that we've so been desiring. I always remember a story, obviously I wasn't there for it, but when Swami Kriyananda, this was when newspapers used to have advertisements and list movie times, and he opened the newspaper and there was an image of some beautiful actress who was starring in a film, so there was an ad for the film, and he looked at it and he thought, ah, how many lifetimes it must have taken her to get to this point. All of the vanity, the desire to be beautiful, to be famous, to be all of these things, one lifetime after another building up. That's what Satan is promising to us in this moment. If you worship me, if you worship this outward, downward pulling force of materialism, I can give you everything that you think you want. But do we want everything on the material plane, or do we want eternal bliss? Do we want bondage, or do we want freedom? That's the question that we, as spiritual seekers, are given an opportunity to ask, and how blessed we are that we get to ask that question. Because imagine the number of people who don't even get to ask that question, at least not in this lifetime. This is the power of the lesson that comes to us through the temptation of Christ. Does Satan exist? Absolutely. And it is a force that is to be honored and to be understood, because we must stand up against it. We can't just be flippant about it. So we must honor its presence, and we must honor the fact that it is a strong force in our lives. But the beautiful thing is, the force of God, the force of joy, is so much more powerful. Our force of our faith is so much more powerful if we allow ourselves to cooperate with it, if we allow ourselves to live in that presence. I've had the great, you know, when I was thinking about the temptation yesterday, I was thinking about the great privilege that I've had to be on pilgrimage both in Israel and in Italy, in Laverna. And in Laverna, for those of you that don't know, it's a spot in Italy where St. Francis received the stigmata, and there's also a little part of this, it's a tall castle on the top of a mountainous range, and there's also a spot where he was tempted by the devil. And so you can go and visit both of these spots, and you can sit and touch the rocks where these powerful moments of Christ consciousness and the power of the soul choosing God have come. And then I've also had the privilege to stand in the Mount of Temptation in Jericho, and to stand in the cell in Gallicante where Christ was held before he began the Via Dolorosa, the Stations of the Cross, carrying the cross, and to stand at the site of the Holy Sepulchre. And each of these spots where there is so much intensity, and in the human experience, it can feel that there's so much pain. all I felt in each one of those moments was the intensity of the love of the masters and the great saints for God, the intensity of the power of participating and cooperating with divine will and moving forward, knowing and trusting in body, mind, and soul each of the temptations that Christ was able to stand up against and say, no, get thee behind me. I choose love. I choose God's will. And in those moments, that love is all that I felt in each of these places. And the beautiful thing is that love felt exactly the same, because of course it is the same. It's born from that oneness of divine consciousness that each one of us has the ability to tap into, that each one of us will eventually merge back into. Here are these examples. So Maya is out there and it is real. Satan is real. But we have the power to use the light that is in us to lift ourselves up into divine grace and to live in that consciousness and to share that consciousness. The light is so much stronger than the darkness. There's a line from St. Francis that I'll end with for all of you today. It's one of my favorite quotes. I'll say it in Italian first. So if anyone who knows Italian is listening, pardon my Italian. Tutte le tenebre del mondo non puoi spegnere la luce di una sola candela. And what that means is all the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. Maya is here. Its magnetic pull is strong, and we are habituated to lean into it. But the light that is in us is so much stronger than the darkness. That passion and desire that Krishna says is born of the darknesses. Yes, it's there and it's real, but all we need to do is offer our light. All the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle. So imagine that light offering it up. Imagine each one of us offering that light. As we continue to do this one by one, we can impact those forces, not just within ourselves, but for the entire world. Pretty soon we find that scale moving forward, and each one of us is leaning more and more closely into the divine grace of God, being lifted up into it, into that eternal joy, where we don't have to fear anything anymore. God bless you.
The secret of laughter lies in the laughing, not in the search for joy. It's a swallow winging on the wind, it's innocence in a boy. Lurelurulero, lurelurulai. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Lurelurulero, lurelurulai. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Joy in the singing, not in the song sung, welcome but never crave. If you think that laughter lies in things, to things you'll be but a slave. Lurelurulero, lurelurulai. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Lurelurulero, lurelurulai. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Joy in the giving, not in the gaining, grasp and you'll never sing. You could win the world and still be poor, win peace and live like a king. Lurelurulero, lurelurulai. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Lurelurulero, lurelurulai. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Sing when the sun shines, sing when the rain falls, sing when your road seems strange. In a tempest seize the lightning flash and ride the winds of change. Lurelurulero, lurelurulai. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Lurelurulero, lurelurulai. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly. Lurelurulero, lurelurulai. Joy will come to anyone whose heart has learned to fly.